it's me, Sean Capri. I'm glad you're here because you're listening to the most horse powerful podcast on the internet. It's the Xbox Drive. I'm on a Skype call with my friend Ryan Turford. He's the weatherman on the moose, and on our journey today, we played a bunch of games and Ryan puts his Xbox in the wrong direction. So let's jump on into the Xbox Drive.
Greater than X.
Ryan, what even show is this, man? I don't even know what we're doing. That was three takes, and that was the best one.
Apparently, this is the Nintendo Drive, and I'm actually Console Kato, the sauciest potato all along.
Oh, my gosh. You ever want to, like, see what it looks like when my brain breaks inside of my skull? That's, like, go to youtube.com/carpoolgaming, man. Holy crap.
It also doesn't help, Sean, that this is, like, your third or fourth podcast in the last, like, 24 hours, so...
I jinxed it yesterday on the Nintendo Drive. I'm getting it right. Like, ever since we went live, it's been good, and even on that third one, I'm like, what is the adjective here? Wholesome, horse powerful. My goodness gracious.
Yeah. Although, actually, now that I'm thinking back to last week, I'm actually pretty sure you said the wholesome Xbox podcast.
Wholesome Xbox. I mean, it is pretty wholesome as well. But in case, you know, we've been saying the most horse powerful podcast for a while. I still can't say it. It's a take on that the Xbox One X was the most powerful console ever created. I'm really going to struggle today, man. I think this is going to be tricky. Oh, we got to do wholesome damn it merch. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's a train wreck already, dude. It's the jacket.
We got a great chat going on today. But speaking of that great chat, folks, if you aren't catching us live right now over at youtube.com/carpoolgaming, what are you doing? You can come watch the show every Wednesday at 2:05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or Savings Time or whatever Eastern time zone thing we're doing this time of year. So head on over there. Make sure to like the video. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't subscribed already. And over to ding, ding, ding. Ring that bell to be notified whenever we go live or whenever we post a new video to the channel. Also, if you're listening to us on audio feeds, you have one job as well, which is hit that subscribe button on your audio feed of choice. Don't just, you know, go to the Apple Podcast page and just play the podcast. Hit that subscribe button. You know you want to. Also, you know, rate us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you're on those services. Also, if you want early access to this and all of our shows or oodles of exclusive content, head on over to patreon.com/carpoolgaming because the patrons are eating well this week, Sean.
Seriously.
Lots of content over there. We just recorded something last night that's going up this afternoon, and then some more stuff to come next week. So look forward to that.
Scott Pilgrim, if anybody will, like, tell them what it is. Like, Scott, the content is exclusive, but the topics doesn't have to be. Carpool Gaming, patreon.com/carpoolgaming at the $3 tier and up. Ryan and I have periodically been recording a little, almost like a little book club, Ryan. Talk about Scott Pilgrim. We did book three last night. And I got to say, like, I've just been really enjoying reading this series for the very first time. You are my Sherpa through Scott Pilgrim. You've read this a dozen or so times before. So people should check that out. Check a look, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether you're new to Scott Pilgrim and you want to follow along with us, or if you've read it a bunch of times and you want to hear, you know, what a new person to Scott Pilgrim like Sean has to say about that.
So. I'm loving the chat going nuts for wholesome damn it merch. Like, it's so, like, ironic. I like it. Wholesome, absolutely. Damn it.
All right. Last thing, of course, if you want an Xbox Drive t-shirt or another t-shirt or mug or something else based off the Carpool branding series of shows, head over to our merch store. The link is in the show notes below, bit.ly/CPGmerch as well. Well, without further ado, Sean, let's go into what is going to be the bulk of the show.
Yeah.
Grab our A-tracks, pop them in. It's time for the playlist because it's June, but there's so many games right now, Sean. There's, one might say, too many games at the
just
moment.
About. Why not throw a whole bunch of demos in the mix as well, Ryan? Throw Game Pass in there, throw some demos, throw some games from 2015. We're playing all the games this week, man. I've been so tired of, like, oh, I don't know what to play, blah, blah. You know how I get sometimes. Enough of that, dude. Somehow I've been playing a bunch of games and podcasting, like, all the time, dude. Like, I'm just doing all the things right now.
Yeah, whereas at this point, I feel like I'm, like, drowning in games. Like, I don't know how I'm going to have time to play all this stuff that I have, but I'm going to find a way, Sean.
It's gaming quicksand. Don't struggle.
I've finished some of this stuff already, and we'll talk about that. But
okay.
I'm very excited. Also, we also polled the community as well, the Xbox Drive community, and asked what you were playing.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to a lot of those as well and kind of talk about that stuff. And likewise, if you're watching over right now on the live stream, let us know in the comments what you're playing, because we'd love to hear from you. So let us know there as well. Well, let's start it off, Sean. Let's talk about what you've been playing. Or do we want to start with Fall Guys first and just talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about Fall Guys. Fall Guys is back.
Yeah. Fall Guys is apparently back. I believe it or not, I'm playing it way more than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. I talked about it last week where I was playing it a little bit. I was a little upset that the progress didn't carry over.
Yeah.
And
it should have.
I played it. Well, no. So actually, I found out the real problem as to why it wasn't working for me last week, which is apparently my Xbox account is linked to an Epic Store account that's not my account, or at least not any of the two Epic Store accounts that I have. So
did you get hacked?
Link it. I don't know, but I never got a message saying that my account was linked to another account, and Epic refuses to unlink it. So my progress won't be carried over. So I've actually gone back to playing on PlayStation 5 at this point, Sean, because all my progress is there. And one thing I didn't realize was because we had claimed Fall Guys as a free game in PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
You actually get the season pass for free, like the upgraded pass.
Got to be kidding me.
As well as a bunch of goodies on top of that, just for signing into the PlayStation version. So if you haven't done that already, even if you've had your accounts linked, definitely go back and do that, because you get a lot of rewards for that.
Ryan,
I'm glad all that stuff showed up.
It's too late. I have a confession to make.
What?
I bought the battle pass. I bought the season pass for stinking Fall Guys. I bought it on Xbox. No. And the only thing I don't have linked to my Epic account is my PlayStation account. That is the one. I've got Steam. I've got God knows what, like ICQ and MSN Messenger, whatever else I've linked it up. My AOL, it's all linked up except for my PSN. Dang it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. That was free.
Yeah, it was free if you actually had bought the game before.
Including none
of that
PS
too, but you
Plus.
Also got a, wow. lot of, a lot of other stuff on top of that too, like a bunch of extra kudos and
You're
stuff.
You're killing me,
like,
Smalls.
I'm swimming in kudos over there. Plus, I had a ton of crowns from the previous games, and those all carried over too, as well as all my previous rewards.
Regret.
And stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to keep playing on PlayStation, especially because it doesn't matter where you play with this game because it is fully crossplay. So you and I can still play together.
That's fair.
Even if I play on PlayStation and you play on Xbox.
I got to add, yeah, I can open up my Epic account here as well, but it'll probably show up on the stream. So maybe later. We definitely have to add each other because, dude, Fall Guys is great. And I actually have been showing my kids Fall Guys, and they think this is the best game ever made. Like, it basically looks like a game show. Like, I know that we've talked about Fall Guys over the last couple of years, but I've just been, like, really rejuvenated in it. And it's I just have 10, 15, 20 minutes, and that turns into an hour and a half somehow. And Fall Guys is wonderful. And I definitely have my favorites of the different tracks and the matches. I love that you can actually select, like, the whole, every mini game is going to be a race, is probably one of my favorite things to do. Actually, I actually really enjoy the races. I feel like I've got a better shot at those than walking all over ice, or definitely the one where I don't know where the path is going to go. You know which one I'm talking? I don't know what any of the things are called, but you kind of have to guess. Yeah. Like, is this going to fade away, or is it going to be a rock solid thing? I do not like that one. Not even
the one
bit.
With the platform that everyone just walks in a line on and tries to guess which parts of the platform work.
And they push you off.
Because essentially, if you're not in the giant group at the end, you just lose.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like that's probably one of the weaker games just by design, actually. Like, yeah. So Fall Guys is awesome. Everybody needs to link up their Epic accounts, and actually maybe a call to action for the Discord. People should get together because tonight, actually, shout out to Skinny Matt, one of our ultimate patrons, actually is hosting a TMNT community night. But I have a feeling Fall Guys and TMNT and a lot of other games are going to start hitting the community quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of great multiplayer options out there for us to choose, and which means, of course, Halo Saturdays isn't coming back anytime soon. Sean,
dead and buried. Oh my gosh, it's so sad. Just at least for now, temporarily dead.
I'm having a ton of fun with Fall Guys. I love to with the free to play aspect of the game. There's now a whole bunch of they've added a whole bunch of daily quests and stuff. Like, there's a lot of, you know, carrot on the end of the stick for this one to keep you playing, to keep you invested in this game and really rewarding you every time you play a match. Just if you play too much in one sitting, of course, you're going to get diminishing returns when it comes to rewards. But I think the reward structure is actually pretty good overall. And I don't feel like I've, you know, been pressured to spend any money, and I'm excited for tomorrow.
Because you got it for free. You got the battle pass for free.
No, but even on Xbox when I was playing there and I didn't have the battle pass.
It's a social pressure. This game is all about the social pressure. Like, oh, I need to get that sushi outfit and that hot dog and whatever else. Like, it is, the outfits are amazing and they're hilarious. You got to have it.
No, I am excited for tomorrow, Jean, because starting tomorrow we get the Halo event in.
I love it.
In Fall Guys from tomorrow until July 5th to earn all the Halo costumes. So I'm going to be totally playing to get the Master Chief outfit.
I love it. I don't know about you, man. And you and I have talked about this quite a bit before, but like the whole, it's so stupid because I actually just spent money on a battle pass and here I am going to denounce the notion of like that's a worthwhile thing to do. I feel like the variety in the game is good enough that I like, that's what I'm there to play. I said the same thing about Halo as well. But for me, it's just like, and maybe it's because a lot of people are new to the game. This is your best shot at winning Fall Guys. Yeah. I got to say, everybody's coming in new. They broke the servers last week. Everything is hilarious. So I'm doing quite well, if I do say so myself, but it's not really a humble brag. I just think that everybody else is way newer to this game coming in for the very first time. So pwn some noobs. Go on to Fall Guys. Well,
there was no truer example of that, Sean. On Monday, I got 4 wins in a row.
There you go. Yeah,
and I got very close to getting the 5, which I need for the trophy for getting 5 wins in a row.
Dude, you played all of the games. Kato wants the flower outfit. I will say, and you're playing on PlayStation, game is kind of a mess on Xbox. In a slightly small way. And this is going to bug some people. In some ways, it's kind of unplayable in that the button prompts are totally wrong. Like,
yeah,
to confirm your choice, to go to various parts of the menu, to do all this stuff.
It totally works fine. It just gives you like the PlayStation icons.
Yeah, you just kind of have to know generally that like A is your confirm button, B is your back button, that like select does this sort of thing or whatever, view, whatever the buttons are called now. So yeah, it shows touchpad and cross and circle and all this other stuff. Kind of a mess on that front. And I actually tried to go in and fix, you know, inverted controls, and I changed it and it wiped all the control like mapping. It was just, I flipped it from regular to inverted and everything was gone. I'm like, I guess I'll just leave it as normal for now. So luckily I don't have
I was able to change it on PlayStation, not have any problems with that, which is bizarre.
Yeah. But I know that they're wild at work, just fixing a whole bunch of stuff. I think on the server side and a bunch of weird things that are happening. Now that 20+ million players are on this game. But
especially because I'm seeing a lot of people on Switch in the multi, the
wrecking it for the rest of us, apparently. No, yeah. But the thing is, like, we came to know this game from Mediatonic as a independent game, like an indie darling, one of the absolute shining stars. This is an Epic game now. This is owned by the Fortnite people and the Rocket League people. Like, kind of need a little bit more polish on this totally free game, please.
Yeah, but it'll get it. Like, it's gonna take time. There. But yeah, and especially too, because it seems like it's rock solid on PlayStation. So it's just
interesting
because it's been on, but it's been on that platform for forever at this point.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, they'll get there with Switch and Xbox versions.
It'll Hopple in the chat says got the correct button label here on Series S. That's interesting. I get you. I got to check again. So, and by the time this goes out there, maybe I didn't play it yesterday, so maybe it's been fixed since then, but I was checking patch notes and I don't even know if they're addressing it. So we'll see. Maybe I did something wrong.
Also, shout out to Kevin Ainsworth in the chat, who's mentioning he's rocking the Sonic outfit. That's the way to go. Right,
like now. In real life? I picture him in real life, just like dressing up just as a Blue Hedgehog. Just wearing the Sonic outfit. Yeah.
Good Lord. Just running around getting some Chaos Emeralds.
Kevin says, I've never seen that. That is so bizarre. I took screenshots. I posted and people said they've seen the same thing. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, I did see the same thing on Xbox as well. You're not alone.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But it's also been a little while since I played it. So
Fall Guys is back. Consent. Okay, well, I got to get back into it. Super fun. Yeah. I'm wearing all blue today. There it is. See, Kevin's wearing.
He's got to go fast. That's what's going on.
Yep.
But Sean, speaking of going fast, what else have you been playing, my friend?
What else have I been playing? I played Rise of the Tomb Raider. Can we talk about Rise of the Tomb Raider for a little bit here? Do we have some time to talk about Rise of the Tomb Raider? I ran credits on, and the story is not the best. I was reminded.
It's a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't the obvious thing to say about it. It's like, yeah, it's a Tomb Raider game, but like ultimately gameplay first. The game is gorgeous. I love the design. I love the collectibles. It seems to be like a nice focused experience for me. And I was happy to finish it. I didn't actually want it to end, Ryan, to the point where I'm going through a whole bunch of the DLC that has come out since they did the 20th anniversary edition. You get all the stuff. You can go back into Croft Manor, into her dad's house. And of course there's family drama happening. Uncle Atlas is trying to take things over and ruin her life, and all this stuff is happening. And a bunch of different scenarios can kind of play out. One is kind of like a Gone Home type of deal, where you're Lara Croft, you're in this giant empty house, and you're kind of puzzle solving. You're finding a bunch of stuff around the house. I don't know if you did you ever play Croft Manor on that front?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Pretty good, right?
It almost felt like it was really spooky, but I really enjoyed that DLC.
Totally. And definitely some more of the interesting actual good storytelling was in that, and definitely like a Gone Home type of experience. I love the ending on that. I also love that it's given me a bunch of achievements on it, Ryan. Yeah. I don't want to move on to the next game. I'm having a bit of a personal crisis about this because this is my second time playing through the game. I've already played through Rise of Tomb Raider back when it was an exclusive and everybody got mad about that back in the day. And as I'm closing this up, I'm like, I'm not going to just get to play the same games over and over and over again. At some point, I'm going to finish a game and that will be the last time that I ever experience or come into contact with it. This is also very top of mind because I think about my kids. At one point, I'm going to pick up my son, and that will be the last time that I pick him up. I'm going to put him down on the ground. I don't know when that day is going to be, but one day I'm just going to like put him down. Then that's it. He's never going to want to be picked up again. He's going to be a grown up or whatever. He'll be 23 years old, and that will be the last time that I pick him up and give him a hug.
Yeah.
So
or you can try anyways, but it'll be a little more difficult.
A little weird. I'll just one more. But that's kind of like my because I love this game. I think Rise of the Tomb Raider is really, really special. And I was playing the DLC, getting all these achievements. Played Lara's Nightmare. Did you ever play that one?
I did, yeah.
It's basically like zombies. Like just an endless horde of zombies.
Yeah, it's like a survival mode.
It's awesome. It's super fun. You find all these different weapons around the house. And that's all great. I'm unlocking achievements there.
Did you ever fight the zombie bear, Sean?
No, really? That's a thing?
There's a zombie bear that you find.
I died at the very end. So you have to you find these floating skulls and you smash them up and you summon like a boss at the end. And unfortunately I died there and it started me at the beginning. So I went back to probably parent or maybe play Fall Guys, but, really, really good. Getting a bunch of achievements. I'm really just don't want to be done this game. I'm enjoying the game, if that makes sense. I've really tried to remove myself from trying to get to the next thing and play the latest thing. I'd love to play Trek to Yomi and a bunch of other stuff that are on my Xbox, but I'm like, I'm just having fun here. I'm liking cleaning up these achievements. I'm liking how it's feeling, which is all good. The only thing I will say, Ryan, is a bunch of the achievements are broken. When we jumped to the 1X, I think is what ended up happening. So I beat the game on Survivor. I played it on a harder difficulty specifically to get the achievement. Didn't unlock, and a bunch of other stuff didn't, like find half of the documents in the DLC, which didn't unlock, but getting all the documents unlocked the all documents achievement, if that makes sense. So just some busted achievements, kind of a little bit frustrating, but I've really been loving my time with Rise of the Tomb Raider, if you can't tell.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad that you enjoyed, revisiting it. I always love hearing that from you, Sean, because it's not very often that I know you get to go and revisit games. So it definitely sounds like this was a special experience for you. Because I go and revisit games all the time. That's, not any news to anyone. But I love hearing you talk about that because I know you don't get to do that very often.
It's the best. That was Mass Effect last year. Mass Effect 2's got to come up again, I think, pretty soon here with the anniversary collection. And it makes me just question a whole bunch of stuff. Even to the point, what is my role on this show and in the content that we create? If we get review stuff, I honestly just go maybe I just pass it on to somebody else, either you or somebody in the community to come on, give us the content. That's awesome. But more and more, I can't keep up with all the stuff. So, and I'm not getting all that happy trying to do that. So I'll just play stuff that makes me happy. I know this is a crazy concept. So.
No, but that's what I've been preaching for a long time when it comes to backlog stuff where, if a game just sits in my backlog, that's fine because I just play what I like to play. And that's just how it is. And a lot of times, it just happens to be the newest game that comes out. And that's, and I'm happy doing that.
Totally.
Which is why I'm more than happy to take on that role of, you know, when games come our way, me kind of being taking the lead on all that stuff. But also too, it's just like, if a game comes out and I'm not, personally not interested in, I'm not going to feel, guilty for not playing it or anything like that. And, I never feel guilty about revisiting, Mega Man 3 on like a weekly basis, Sean, especially this week too, because I've been watching a lot of Games Done Quick, which is a
nice,
like a biannual speedrunning charity stream that happens. And there was an entire Mega Man block yesterday, Sean. So I got to see some amazing Mega Man speedruns, and then it really made me be like, yeah, I kind of just want to play all the Mega Man games again. So I just did that too. So,
I love that, man.
Yeah.
And the poll, like when we just went through June where they're telling us about all the games that are coming out. So I'm still excited. It's not like I'm not excited about the games that are coming out. It's just a matter of like, I can't get to everything. No, it's sad. Exactly. I don't like admitting it.
But it's just what happens when you're an old man, Sean. You can only get to so much.
You're not kidding.
Well, there's also just too many games coming out nowadays to get to everything. That's kind of the key thing.
And you don't know what's good.
Movies too. Movies are the same way.
The thing is, when something is new, you don't know what you love. Like that's kind of the at the heart of it is games that I've played already. I know which ones I love. And some of them are, that I can select from that. When something is new, I'm playing it because it's new and because I've got hyped up about it. It's a different mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we get to me, I kind of want you to tell me about this other thing that happened, the ID at Xbox demo showcase. Now, normally I'm usually the reporter in the field on the demo showcase. The last couple of years I played all the demos. But this year I passed that responsibility on to Sean this year because there are so many games for me specifically that have come out this week that I'm just like, I just didn't have time to play any of them. So I gladly pass it on to Sean, and I'm excited to hear what you have to report back about some of these demos, Sean.
Well, in complete the opposite direction of everything I just talked about, playing games that I know that I love and harken back to good times, I tried a whole bunch of stuff. I felt like I was at this little sample buffet. I just went to Costco yesterday. I had kind of like a life ending trip to like as if we're stacking up for the end of the world trip to Costco. And you get to have the little samples around. That's what this little demo thing is going. And I don't remember. And I don't know if you have the notes in front of you of like how long this goes for. But I want to give at least two games a shout out. People should definitely check out. The first one, no surprise probably to anybody because we've talked about this game in the past. Metal: Hellslinger. This game is amazing. Like for every part of me in my body that likes music, that has this weird, funny appreciation for metal music, because I feel like some people can take metal a little too seriously and it kind of gets a little scary because it's meant to be like demonic and evil and all this stuff. But if you think of it more of like something that's funny, I think metal music is awesome on that front. Just like, how hilarious is this? Like, we're going to raise the souls from hell. Like, it's completely over the top, and I am here for it. And that's what this game is. It's a first person shooter, very much looks like Doom, over the top and nonsensical voiceover and acting. And you're just kind of going through killing fools with your weapons. But the key to this is you do extra damage when you fire your guns on the beat of the music that you're listening to. And the more that you start to string things together, like more kills without getting hits, and you can get little power-ups around the world, you start to do more damage, you get more points, things start to like kind of pile up, and the music gets more intense. It starts to add like instruments to it. It starts to add vocals, and it kind of culminates into these amazing moments. And it's pretty decent, man. It feels kind of like an indie game. It's not the most like visually amazing game ever. But as far as a demo goes and from the music side of things, I think it is definitely worth checking out. And one of the things too, I realized it as I was playing, like I was paying attention to that game, like to every millisecond. I felt elevated as I was playing it, as opposed to what I find myself normally doing with first person shooters, which is sitting back in my chair, turning my brain off and just shooting stuff. I'm like paying attention to the beat. I'm getting pumped up by the music getting added up. I'm trying to make sure that I don't screw up my combos. Like it demanded a lot from me and it got a lot out of me from this experience. So I had a blast playing it, which is probably the most important part about it. So Metal Hellslingers is so good. Bob Obla in the chat gets it, says Metalocalypse is the show that helped me understand metal. It's so stupid, and if you don't take it seriously, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just like when you're listening to rap music too, you have to go in with kind of the same mindset with a lot of, you know, especially if you're listening to like gangster rap and stuff like that. Like a lot of times, you know, you go with the same mindset.
Yeah, don't go shooting people.
It's on like the opposite side of the spectrum as metal, but it's kind of the same in a lot of ways. They have a lot of similarities.
I just think it's silly. I don't know if rap is ever considered silly, but I think like if you're into metal, I think you can kind of get it. Chat can help us out on that one.
You'd also be surprised how serious people get about metal.
Oh, I get it. I just think as far as like, if you've never been into metal and you don't understand it, try to think of it as hilarious first. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can.
But that sounds like an awesome demo. I know again, after the showcase, you were super excited about that.
Yep.
And I'm glad it turned out to be a really fun game. And yeah, like to your point about you not being able to turn your brain off with this one. Yeah, like it's definitely, it sounds like a rhythm game first and then a first person shooter second, which totally plays into that and definitely keeps you engaged. So I'm definitely excited to try that one out. I have it downloaded, but I just haven't had time to get to it yet.
Ryan, you got to do it.
But I was too busy playing Fall Guys, Sean. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, Fall Guys is real good.
I needed to earn crown shards so I can, you know, level up my crown level, Sean.
That's, man, I kind of want to play it now. We're podcasting all the time.
Podcast over. Let's play Fall
Guys. Very, very quickly, give a shout out to a game that people can play on PC and a few other places. It might be on Switch as well. It's a demo on Xbox right now called Wave Break. Definitely gave me Wave Race vibes. You're some sort of bear or cutesy animal on a small boat, and you're kind of racing around doing tricks like Tony Hawk. So it's basically Wave Race plus Tony Hawk. You're doing grinds. You're kind of doing flips and stuff. You're touch grabs, doing spins. And it's very, very cutesy. Actually, kind of what I was hoping for out of Skatebird, but it feels actually good to play, Ryan. So I don't know. It basically, it just gives you a playground, like a sandbox to play in with a whole bunch of different areas and ramps and things to grind on, stuff like that. So I don't know where the game is going outside of the demo. If it's just a bunch of that, which is, I think, kind of what you had with Tony Hawk.
That's what happened with that's also what you had with Skatebird with the final game, where it was just like, it was very freeform, and you had like a big skate park and
which is for some people.
Physics and stuff were not very good, but
these physics are great, and you're right, the physics were awful in Skatebird. This felt great to play, really, really easy and accessible controls. This isn't like a pros only kind of deal, so very cool.
Yeah. Nice. Also, I want to give a shout out to Bob Law 574 in the chat, who points out, tomorrow is the last day to claim Tell Me Why for free.
Good call.
I mean, Sean and I both played it. We love that game. So if you don't have Tell Me Why already, make sure to claim it before tomorrow.
Just claim it.
It's a fantastic experience.
Definitely.
For free, especially. Like, that's a great price for it.
Yeah, man.
Nice. So overall, good demo showcase. Did you get a chance to play more of them? We don't have to go in depth with any of them. I'm just curious to know how many other demos you had a chance to check out besides these two.
I did one more. It was called, I think, Severed Steel, I think it was called. Very similar to it gave me Mirror's Edge vibes with a bit of what was the one that Super Hot. It's kind of like a Super Hot kind of visual style with the parkour kind of elements of Mirror's Edge. Very short little scenarios you find yourselves in to try and get from like point A to point B, and in the meantime go smash this window or destroy that computer, or very specific, like mission specific objectives, but you should be able to complete most of these scenarios in like between 30 seconds and 65 seconds or something like that. So bite size, very, you'll die quick because it is challenging. You got to keep moving. Very cool, but probably on the more difficult front. So yeah, but very interesting. That's what I love about ID at Xbox, man. Like, none of those three games are similar, other than the fact that Severed Steel is first person and Metal Hellsinger is first person. But one is physics based and parkour and all about that kind of stuff. And then the other one's a rhythm game, like really, really good. So, but it didn't hook me like the other ones did. It was maybe just a little bit more challenging, but pretty cool and definitely worth checking out for sure.
Nice. And yeah, there was a lot of variety with the types of demos that we got. Like, there was so much stuff out there. And yeah, you're right. Like, none of them were really very similar to each other. So I think that I couldn't pin down an exact release date of when the demo showcase ends. But I imagine it's probably in the next week or two. So
yeah,
y'all better jump on it while you still can. Try some of these demos out, because just like I am, I'm excited to try some of these games out. Whereas I know a lot of them are coming to Game Pass too. So that's why I'm also not like in a rush to play them, because I will more than likely just download them when they come to Game Pass.
For sure.
Later this year, like Metal Hellsinger, for example, as soon as it goes up for preload, I'll actually end up preloading that one.
Yeah.
And going from there. Be ready day one mm-hmm. to get my metal on and do some first person shooting with that game. So
nice.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for that detailed report, Sean. And
I look forward to
your field report in the future for, you know, more ID at Xbox demo showcases. As for me, I've been playing a lot of games, Sean, although I finished actually a lot of games this week and not all of them are on Xbox. So I'm not going to cover every single game that I played. I talked about Fire Emblem yesterday. That's what I've been playing a lot of. But I played the Capcom Fighting Collection on Xbox. This is a collection of 10 fighting games from Capcom. It's mostly actually a Darkstalkers collection with 6 different Darkstalkers games. But then you've got some other games in the mix as well. You've got, you know, Super Gem Fighter, Super Gem Puzzle Fighter. You've also got a game called Cyberbots, which is like a mech one-on-one fighting game. And then you've got a game called Red Earth, which almost feels like an RPG fighting game where you pick one of 4 heroes and you're killing like one boss enemy per area of the land. And you're basically trying to free the land from these evil forces. It's actually like a really interesting game. And then of course there's a version of Street Fighter in there called Hyper Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which combines like all of the versions of Street Fighter 2 from the arcade. So you have the original version, Championship Edition, Super, and then Turbo, of course. So you got lots of cool stuff in this collection. I have a whole extra mile coming out about this collection because I actually really enjoyed this collection. But that's not the reason I wanted to talk about it in depth. But I think there's a lot here to talk about. But I will say, though, if you're a casual person like me, like I'm someone admittedly who's not someone who would consider himself like a hardcore fighting game player. I'm not, you know, going in depth with a lot of combos or anything like that. But from a casual sense, I think all the games in this collection are really fun and worth checking out. Even if you're just going to play them casually, they're a little bit on the difficult side. But one of the nice things about this collection that is new versus the previous Capcom arcade collections is there's this really great difficulty slider for each of the games. And you can set the difficulty independently for each game. So you can actually slide it down to 0 or 1 and make the game really easy if you just want to, you know, button mash and have a good time. Or you can crank it like all the way to 10, which is like 3 times harder than the original arcade version. If you're looking for like a real challenge, if you just want to get punished. But I love the ability to tweak the experience based on what you as a player are really looking for or what your player level is. And you can go from there. Cause also too, what I found is even though I started on the lower difficulties, as I got better at the games, playing them more, I gradually increased the difficulty level as I played through them. And I found myself getting it better and better with each playthrough of each game.
Nice. So, that actually reminds me, I was doing like score attacks on Rise of the Tomb Raider. Like, dude, that game is endless, man. There's so much to do in that. That's super fun. I cannot delete this game, man. Holy crap.
You can't.
No,
you can't. But yeah, Capcom Fighting Collection. If you like Capcom fighting games, if you like Street Fighter, if you like Darkstalkers in particular, like I think that's a great collection, but I'll talk about it more in the Extra Mile episode because, again, there's a lot to dissect with this collection and I don't want to spend the next 10 minutes boring Sean.
Did you say stuff. That you already recorded it or you were about to record it?
I already recorded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just not out yet.
So, and it might even be a separate video, but I'd be very curious because there's a lot of Capcom collections out there. And to be honest with you, I can't keep them straight. There's like Street Fighter 30th anniversary. There's like a collection of all the other stuff. There's the, yeah. I don't need, like, there's all these things.
There's the Capcom Arcade Museums, the 1 and 2. We also got the Mega Man collection announced yesterday, which is not coming to Xbox, by the way. We found out that afterwards. Coming to everything but Xbox for some reason.
Come on. Ah, come on.
That's the only one to skip out because we got all the other Mega Man collections on Xbox.
So weird.
But not this one in particular, which is
whatever. We don't want it.
I actually kind of want that.
I know you
but,
do.
but moving on, I got to talk about Sean's favorite character in the whole wide world because it's time to talk about Sonic. Because Sonic Origins, Sean, this was a game where I was like, I was like cautiously optimistic. I was like, because I love the original Sonic games on the Sega Genesis, as you know. But I was like, are they going to screw this up by making the game 16:9? Is this going to feel weird?
So these are those games, like Origins is the original games kind of remastered?
So it's Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles, and then Sonic CD. That's what the collection is.
Okay, okay.
But what they did for each game is they gave you the original games in the original versions in 4x3 if you want to play them that way. So if you want to play the original versions, they're all there. Although the music for Sonic 3 is totally tweaked because they removed the songs that Michael Jackson worked on for that game from the game. Because I guess they can no longer get the licensing for that, which is the reason why Sonic 3 hasn't appeared in a very long time in any collections. Like the last time we've had Sonic 3 on a modern platform was on Xbox 360.
It's for the best, Ryan. It felt weird playing Sonic with Heal the World and Man in the Mirror and Dangerous kind of playing in the background. Yeah. It was very strange. So this is for the best.
Yeah. But I mean, well, actually, the songs they replaced them with way worse than the original songs. The original songs were some serious bangers.
Were they? Well, they're Michael Jackson, man. It's the king of pop. Yeah.
Ice Cap Zone in particular. Like, even if you don't like Sonic, go listen to this song from Ice Cap Zone because that song's amazing.
Is it is it because you know the difference? Like that? Like,
yes,
you know what should be there, and you're like, ooh, this isn't.
But no. It's definitely worse because what they did is there was actually a PC port of Sonic and Knuckles, and they reinterpret some of the songs from the PC port of Sonic and Knuckles that came out in the 90s.
Amazing. John, amazing.
Which just did not have great music.
That's what we needed from Mega Man, by the way. We need that PC game of Mega, the DOS, MS-DOS.
The DOS version. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it back.
The DOS version of Mega Man 3 and the original Mega Man. Oh,
that's what I played. So
but Sonic's Origins, believe it or not, against all odds, totally hooked me.
Like, why is it against all odds? What do you mean? Like, it's the original games.
It's the original games, but I wasn't expecting the games to hook me in the way that they did revisiting them, because I revisit Sonic games all the time.
Yeah.
Like when Sonic 2 came to Nintendo Switch Online, you know, I played it and, you know, had a good time with it, but I was like, you know, not hooked or anything.
Sure.
Like that. Whereas revisiting them in this collection, the way it's presented, because they actually have this story mode that has puts all four games in a playlist. And you play them back to back to back. But what they do is that if you played Sonic Mania, right, Sean?
Not much.
No. Okay. Do you remember in Sonic Mania, and they showed this in the trailers, they had like animated cutscenes for the game?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they did that for all of the games in this collection.
That's awesome.
To kind of set up the games and kind of bridge them together.
Sure.
Which I thought was super cool. Like, it totally pulled me into the experience more, combined with the fact that they did an amazing job with porting these games to 16:9 and not making them feel weird. Because that's one of the things about doing platformers and converting them from 4x3 to 16:9 aspect ratios. They always feel a little bit weird to play because they're not designed to have that much screen real estate to them. But they did a great job with this collection. So hats off to the team at Sega.
Are there examples of that? Like, which games have been morphed from 4x3 to 16:9 and feel bad?
There are some Xbox 360 arcade games that I'm blanking on exactly which games they are, but I remember
that. I just wouldn't even think that would be a thing to check for. So that's, I mean, I'm glad that you're happy with the game, obviously. I'm just a little surprised at like the trepidation going into this thing. It's like, you know what these games are.
Yeah, but what was also cool about the collection is also there's a mission mode that remixes some of the levels and then gives you like different objectives that you got to follow, like getting through the level without killing an enemy or getting through the level collecting a certain number of items and stuff like that. So there was a lot of content in here, a lot more than I was expecting. And I had a great time with this collection. I think it's awesome.
I'm telling you, and again, same thing with Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's kind of remixing a bunch of those levels. And I actually talk about that a lot with GoldenEye, like that you don't really see a lot of that when in GoldenEye 64, they would go to a different difficulty level. You'd have not only more difficult enemies or more of them, but different objectives as well. And I'm here for that replayability, man. Those remixes, kind of like a NES remix in that kind of way, just like rejumble it in a familiar but totally different way. I think that is awesome. So I get it.
Yeah,
I understand it. Absolutely. Seems expensive, I will say. Can you like?
No, and that's why, like, for someone like me, I'm okay, you know, with the normal price at the beginning. But for most people, I'd say wait for a sale on this
one. Yeah.
But I think when you get it on sale, it's fantastic.
Nice.
I think it's actually a really good pickup. Really solid. And then I'm going to save my conversation about AI, the Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative for next week, because I'm also playing that because we're running low on time. And I want to
talk about all the games, man. Look at this.
Yeah. Because we've only got like 8 minutes left and we got to get to what the community's playing, Sean, because we got to talk about this. So we, of course, asked the community what you're playing over the summer here. And we're going to start with Bowza on the Discord, who said Xbox playlist is currently Fortnite Zero Build, Fall Guys, and Lost in Random.
So nice.
Two of those three games being Epic games, Sean, you know, from the Fortnite, from the Fortnite folks, which is pretty cool. But next up, we got Blaze Knight, who says, I've not been playing much of anything lately. I've actually been working with the developer of Final Fantasy XI Braver, a fan game based on Final Fantasy XI, basically a 16-bit style demake. Can't say much, but we are working on developing the next leg of Chapter 3, which drops in September. However, on October 18th, I'm be firing up the old Game Pass subscription to play my most anticipated game of the year, A Plague Tale Requiem.
Wow.
That extended gameplay trailer was basically everything I wanted to see. So Kevin Ainsworth, I know he's still here, probably pretty happy that
we got to get you trying this fan game of Final Fantasy XI or whatever this was, dude. That sounds awesome. Yeah. That sounds really interesting.
That's an interesting idea
of
taking that game and doing a demake of it.
I like
that's
it. Pretty cool. I like it. And also, what I've done, I've succeeded, by the way, in throwing a little shade at Plague Requiem, whatever, is galvanizing support for it, actually. People are coming out of the woodwork, declaring that they're excited about it. So I'm very happy for you guys. We did it.
I mean, even Mr. Badbit's excited.
We did it, everybody.
That tells you something.
That's right.
And then next up, we got Hopple, who says, my playlist, Forza Horizon 5. He's preparing for the DLC, as well as Falcais and Yakuza 0. He's on Chapter 11 of Yakuza 0 at the moment as well.
I love it.
That DLC next month, Sean, for Forza.
Gosh, man, there's too many games.
Yeah. Next, Bob Loblaws said, Life is Strange, True Colors,
nice,
and Super Mega Baseball are my go-tos right now. We both love True Colors. I think that game's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're playing it. And Super Mega Baseball 3, it's okay. It's a baseball game. It's fine.
Damn.
I know people are excited about it. But then last up, Tim Pollen says, currently playing Fortnite Zero Build, Gran Turismo 7, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and Tales of Arise. And Tim actually had a follow-up question, and this is more of a question that I actually have for Sean in particular. Ooh. But I'll step in on this a little bit on this one. My question is, as someone who doesn't watch anime, how do I stop rolling my eyes from the writing in Tales of Arise? It's just silly. Although I do really enjoy the combat. So the main reason I wanted to have Sean answer this question instead of me is, like, I'm entrenched in the anime, Sean, at this point.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't to me, faze
it's just
you.
Like, well, I mean, it, to me, I'm like, yeah, you should just enjoy it because it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who doesn't watch anime like you are, I'm curious to know what you have to say about Tim's question.
Free yourself of the maybe judging yourself for picking your favorite waifu. That takes care of everything. Pick your favorite waifu and it's all hilarious. The other thing too is just keep going with it, because what I think happens for me, I think we talked about this on the Gridlock actually, which is an exclusive podcast, the $3 tier and up, where we talked about The Last of Us 1 versus The Last of Us Part 2. One of the things that we talked about is when you have like these kind of tropey, cliche, stereotypical type of storylines and beats, and you think you know where it's going, I think one of the strengths of Tales of Arise is that the characters still surprise me in the end. They all appear like they are complete characters and they won't change. I feel like almost every single one of them has a wonderful and interesting arc. And if you have an appreciation for that, then you can kind of get over some of the dialogue. The other tip that I would say, if you're up for it, is switch to Japanese voice acting and read the subtitles. Yeah. If you're in for that, if you don't mind that sort of thing, I feel like the performances sound, even though I have no idea what they're saying or if the acting is good, if it just sounds Japanese. I mean, I like hearing the Japanese voiceover. It doesn't sound as corny to me, because I can't read the tone or anything like that, or hear what they're actually saying.
Right. Yeah, those are some good tips, John. I'll appreciate that. But before we go, we got to quickly touch on this question from Court Lalonde, who asked the question, why is Ryan the way he is?
Yeah.
Viva Le Vertical. So we made this post yesterday, Sean, asking, you know, what position your console should be in. And I, of course, replied to Court's tweet, showing off my current setup, which is my Xbox Series X horizontal and my PlayStation 5 horizontal, which is the correct way to have your consoles. And yet, for some reason, people keep telling me I'm wrong for some reason. Sean, what's going on here? Why is this happening?
Here's the deal with the PlayStation is it's just and this is such an Xbox show thing to say, the PlayStation 5 is not a well-designed console. Like, it just isn't. It doesn't look good. It's bulbous. It's just whatever they could figure out. It doesn't look good any way you shake it. So that's that. The Xbox, however, is designed so that the heat is generated on the inside and it rises out the top of the tower. It is designed to be upright. You can see the way the fans blow up because hot air rises. It looks like it's standing tall and structured. When you have it laying down, Ryan, not only does it just functionally not work the way that I was just describing, it looks like you knocked it over by accident. Like it just it looks like you kind of bumped into it and went like, ah, I'll just leave it like that. It doesn't look purposeful. It doesn't look intentional. You don't see Xbox certainly having like now introducing the Series X, and it's all like flopped over on its side like a hot dog you dropped on the ground. Like it's absolutely wrong. Court says it has nubs on the bottom. I mean, it has nubs on the side.
It's got nubs on the side because you're supposed to lay it down sideways horizontally because it's designed to do that.
It actively angers me.
That's a design.
You
feature.
Have space. I saw the picture. You have space. Stand it up. Now you're just doing it to upset me. That's the other thing. Actually, I'm taking it personally.
I'm kind of doing that a little bit. Whereas the PlayStation, I actually physically can't stand it up because even though I've got all that room there, there's not like I need another inch or two higher of shelf space in order for it to physically be able to stand up.
Yeah, no, so. The PlayStation actually, like because of how symmetrical the Xbox is, it standing up is perfect. With the PlayStation, it's so bulbous, it actually looks thinner lying down. You need to just like get that thing flat against the ground.
Especially with the digital version, because I have the digital only PS5 and it actually looks really nice, you know, horizontal.
Project Egg Talk says mine goes behind my TV. Your PlayStation or your Xbox goes behind your TV. My brother hides his PlayStation behind his TV. And I know many people do because that's what you got to do. You got to get yourself a damn 60-inch TV and hide your PlayStation behind it because that's the only way to make it look good. You know what I'm saying?
I've got discs to put in my consoles, though, Sean. I don't want to do that. But that's actually why I put it horizontally, because I've had a ton of issues with discs getting scratched up having my consoles vertically.
Interesting.
I have a lot of Blu-ray movies and stuff like that. So I actually prefer, and my Xbox is my primary Blu-ray player. So I could prefer to have it horizontally instead of vertically. And that's why I do that.
Interesting. Well, it still looks like you knocked it over by accident. Kevin says both are behind the TV. Okay. Interesting.
Anyway, Sean, we got to get going.
I got to go back to
before
work.
Before we go, Sean, plugs go.
You can find me on Twitter and on Twitch at Sean Capri, Sean like Connery, Capri like the pants. I have had so much fun today, Ryan. I definitely, you know, we sprinkled these kind of things in about the Patreon. Patreon is crushing it right now. We've got damn near 90 people going on, and we don't take any one of you guys for granted. We don't take anybody for granted, of course, but we are putting out a ton of content at that exclusive level. If you're at the $1, please consider going up to the $3. If you'd like to join in, the $3 tiers are most popular. So patreon.com/carpoolgaming. That's it for me, Ryan Turford.
Very nice, my friend. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Turford. You can find us on Twitter at Carpool Gaming, on YouTube at youtube.com/carpoolgaming, on podcast services around the globe. So for Sean Capri, I'm Ryan Turford. This has been episode 247 of the Xbox Drive, and we out.
Bye. We need some ideas for what we should be doing for episode 250, because we're coming up to a pretty big milestone. It's kind of a big deal. We've been doing the show for a couple of years. We're so glad that you guys are all here. I've got a lot of breath still left to go. I don't really know what to say, but I'm just going to keep talking about stuff. This is kind of like Eminem, the rap god thing, where he talks really fast. I'm going to end the show now. Okay, bye. Bye. The Xbox Drive is fueled by patrons at patreon.com/carpoolgaming. And from the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful to the nearly 90 patrons who support us each and every month, with a special thanks to our ultimate producers, Tony Baker from Quest for Pixels. You can subscribe to that amazing channel at youtube.com/Quest4Pixels with a number 4. Dallas Ford, Emily O'Kelly, Trucker Sloth, Jonathan Brown, who has a new album called In My Element on Spotify and Apple Music. Download it right now. Drew Agnew, the handsome host of the House of Mario podcast. Lee Navarro, the fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team. Skinny Matt, who's hosting Carpool Gaming Community Game Night, so follow him at twitch.tv/SkinnyMattK. And all the links are in the show notes, so please support these amazing and especially ultimate producers. Platinum producers, Brendan Myers, Dano, Marcus McCracken, Mostly Martinez, Becky Rubin Navarro, and Robbie Bobby Miller, and RJ Kern. And our gold members, Anna, Argo, Ashley Nicholson, Cecily Carrozza, Dallas Robbins, Foolish Fuji, Jose Jimenez, Mac Time, Marcus O'Neill, Nagachaka, The Snack Network, Tom Danks, and Mr. and Mrs. Nasty Boots, with a special acknowledgement to Tony Baker and Skinny Matt, now at that ultimate level. And welcome, John 32, our newest patron. If you'd like to support the Xbox Drive, go to patreon.com/carpoolgaming and choose the tier that is right for you.